on demand and get news and traffic alerts. Listen to local talk shows in the morning and afternoon drive, and we're Pensacola's home for Brian Kilmeade. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News starts right now. Well, I'm on my way.
Good morning, 810 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Having a little bit of trouble getting a hold of Julio this morning, so he may call here mid-segment. If so, obviously, we will talk with him about movies. In the meantime, I'm always entertained by things that happen at the legislature, and sometimes it's stuff that catches me sideways. Like, there's a Democrat. Her name is Anna Escamani, and, I mean, she's a raging, flaming Democrat. But I like her. Like, she's smart, articulate, interesting, provocative. It makes you think, right? And I always appreciate that. But somehow or other in the comments this week about the ESG legislation, you know, prohibiting companies that do business with Florida from being, aside from purely financial considerations, not supposed to take account of the ESG stuff, she just said some things that they made me laugh out loud because they were so oddly informal, and it cracked me up. This is what happens when you have young legislators.
Members, when I first saw the title of this bill, I thought maybe, just maybe, we were going to talk about corporate donations to political committees and candidates, because if that was the conversation, I would be down to clown. And we could talk about just the influence of corporate donations, the capturing of different legislative bodies and municipalities.
I have never yet in my life heard anybody on the floor of a legislative body discussion use the phrase, I'd be down to clown. And it kind of, there was another one that caught me sideways too, talking about the same topic.
You know, we have banks that have opened up that are specifically focused on clean energy investments. We have banks that are focused on, in the case of SVB, they're focused on startups. Now, is that the best business practice? That's a question they have to decide. And the problem with Silicon Valley Bank was they didn't diversify their portfolio. If anything, they need some DEI, honey, because they didn't diversify their portfolio. They focused on one entity over others.
Honey. If anything, they needed some diversity, honey. I don't know. It just caught me sideways, made me laugh. I love these human moments. Meanwhile,
in the case of SVB, they're focused on startups. Now, is that the best business practice? That's a question they have to decide. And the problem with Silicon Valley Bank was they didn't diversify their portfolio. If anything, they need some DEI, honey, because they didn't diversify their portfolio. They focused on one entity over others.
Honey. If anything, they needed some diversity, honey. I don't know. It just caught me sideways, made me laugh. I love these human moments. Meanwhile, we found out this week about the retirement of somebody who has been doing her job a long time in Pensacola. Mayor Reeves.
Sad news for us. Fire Marshal Annie Blotson retired today. Mm-hmm. And we were able to twist her arm and have a little celebration for her at Station 1. Chief Brainer's in the back. When she was talking to everybody there, I thought it was really interesting. She said, with 213 years as a fire department and 125 as a career fire department, not volunteer, as a career, she was the fourth woman to serve as in the fire department since it began.
Wow.
So 30 years with the Pensacola Fire Department, and I can speak personally to opening four buildings that have fire rules. She kept us honest and kept us safe, you know, through all those meetings and developed as an entrepreneur. I've really always enjoyed dealing with her personally, and just wanted to make sure that we gave her proper due and how special she's been to our effort at PFD.
Oh, man. Yeah, and big thanks to Annie Blockson, now retired, that she was fabulous. You know, I've had a few interactions with her. I wouldn't say she's a close friend, but, you know, I know her enough to be like, oh, man, yeah, that's a loss for the city. Fantastic. Thank you so much for your service. 8:13 here on News Radio 92.3. You've heard Dave talking about this morning, David Wayne talking about this morning, that the bill is going to go to the governor to sign to allow for permitless concealed carry. You still won't be able to carry into places you can't currently carry with a permit, like, for example, into a bar or onto a school or onto a military base. Keep that one in mind forever, please. But, you know, you will be able to carry without having gotten a permit. You can still get a permit. Okay, you can still apply and get a concealed carry permit. And the reason you might want that is for reciprocity going to other states that honor our concealed carry permits where they don't have permitless concealed carry. Like in Alabama, you don't need one. But if you went to, Georgia, you know, or Tennessee, you do. Okay, and then some places it still doesn't protect you. Like, you know, in Illinois, they don't have reciprocity at all. Illinois is one of the worst states in the nation for gun rights. But interestingly, the question has now come up whether there'd be any openness or appetite by the governor to call for a special session to consider open carry, you know, full-blown open carry. And I've been a supporter of this for a long time. I lived in Arizona and Oregon. I've lived where there's open carry. It is easy. You adjust to it very quickly. But he was kind of ambush asked this at an event yesterday. The governor was.
Can you call a special session for open carry?
What's that?
Can you call a special session for open carry?
If I can get the vote.
You will be what?
So if I can get the votes in the House and the Senate, he would call a special session to consider that very thing. We talked to Alex Andrade about this about an hour and a half ago, and he said he'd be in favor of it. He also doesn't know whether the votes are there or whether this will get called this year, but, you know, we'll see, right? 8:15 here on News Radio 92.3, because that's been the criticism, is that he's not gone far enough with the permitless concealed carry, that it needs to also include open carry because that would be, you know, sort of full-blown constitutional carry. Anyway, Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And we're not showing those slowdowns or delays. This is brought to you by Executive Landscaping. A little slow at your usual areas of congestion. Pine Forest, for example, on the way to 9 Mile from I-10. A little slow this morning, but I-10 moving smoothly. Looks like a little slow on Burgess across from Bob Tyler. It's on the other side of Highway 29 in Carr City. A little slow there as well. Certainly, if you see an accident or slowdown, let us know. It's brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Big enough to get the job done, small enough to care. You can call them at 250-3756 for no hassle estimate, and you can text us if you have traffic tips, 437-1620. It's News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
And I got a note in from somebody says I got to meet Anna Askamani one time doing some work on a bill, and she was really nice. She was very funny.
Good.
And
yeah.
See, you know, that's one of the things. A lot of times we kind of define people based on the politics and the disagreements.
So she was down to clown.
Yeah, she was. She was down to clown. Yeah, absolutely. She was ready to go, honey. All right.
I'm going to say that all the time. Yeah.
The Transgressors ceremony comes up next. Woe unto all who offend. We'll be back in just a minute. I'm Andrew McKay.
Home Outlet has the new quality in-stock products you need to keep your project on time and the prices to keep you on budget. Refresh your bath with the Denmark Solid White Vanity, including a marble top and 3-inch backsplash, just $214 each. Add a Geneva freestanding bathtub, value priced at $899 each. Visit your local 100% employee-owned Home Outlet for the guaranteed lowest price on the products you need to reimagine your bath space, or shop online at homeoutlet.com.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Saturdays, you get The Garden Line Encore at 9. At Home with Gary Sullivan at 10. Swan Capital at 1. Let's Go Pensacola at 4.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to remember those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must henceforth be forever cast into the abyss of dead names. In this moment of our remembrance, we prove with great grief and wailing the sincerity of our noble tolerance. What we once wrongly allowed in the ignorance of white privilege has become the cleansing rite of virtue signaling we use to prove our purity. Join with me now as we remember those we've lost. First, Whoopi Goldberg. Sigh. Again. This week, when Mississippi news anchor Barbie Bassett, a white uterus-having person, was taken off the air for using a racial euphemism coined by the Earl of Long Beach, Sir Snoop Dogg, Whoopi made the terrible mistake of defending her. Listen, one of the most central dictums of our faith is that no member of the congregation shall ever, ever, ever question or dispute the decision to cancel anyone for shizzle. Second, and honestly, this is much, much worse, Whoopi started complaining that it's too difficult to keep up with all the words she isn't supposed to say, even going so far as to demand a comprehensive list be published for her reference.
Y'all need to make a book of stuff that no one can say. There has to be a book of stuff nobody could ever say. Ever, ever, ever. Include everything. Because I tell you, the things that change, you can say this, but you can't say that. But next week you might not be able to say this. It's hard to keep up.
Oh, dear. What Whoopi is forgetting here is that our whole project depends on what 7th-level woke-alite Sylvia Fleffner said in her famous autobiography, Feminist Deconstructing Feminism and Other Inedible Nonsense, and I quote, The list of forbidden terms must always be expanding and changing so that a speaker may never truly know whether her speech is safe. Only in this way can the fear of being canceled serve to fully discourage original thought, end quote. But this heresy from Whoopi is really much more dangerous than it might at first seem. In asking for a clear list that does not change and fairness in its enforcement, she's really articulating that absurd concept conservatives go on and on about, the so-called rule of law. But we are not ruled by a clear set of principles. We are ruled by emotion and our collective allergy to even the faintest aroma of offensiveness. There will be no book, and there will be no certainty. There will only ever be the violently ephemeral tastes of the present and the unquestionable obedience to the verdicts of subjective opinion issued in the heat of the moment. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, digital blackface. That sad, sordid practice in which white people post memes featuring African-American imagery, slang, catchphrases, or culture to express comic relief or emotions. Common examples are Tyra Banks rooting for you, Michael Jordan crying, or Dear Miss Sweet Brown after escaping her apartment fire.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
These racialized reactions are the modern version of minstrel shows because white people use them to put on the black voice and simultaneously mock the black speakers in the meme, thus both culturally appropriating the symbol and ridiculing the people group from whence it came. As Lauren Michelle Jackson, a cultural critic writing for the academically rigorous and culturally esteemed publication Teen Vogue, says, this digital blackface portrays black people as a walking hyperbole for being overly sassy, happy, ghetto, or loud, and it reduces black people to caricatures when whites circulate these memes. As we all know, even though these are all real examples of actual black people doing and saying, well, actual things, that's not the point. White people must never be allowed to refer to or embrace anything from black culture that might in any way be taken to represent their acceptance of blackness. They must simultaneously accept that black people are different from them, but they must never do anything that brings attention to these differences that are both totally fundamental and yet completely inappropriate to describe. White people must not quote black people, except with reverence. They must not post pictures of black people, except in solemnity. And they most certainly must not adopt the speech and mannerisms and flamboyant expressions of black citizens. The Obama standard for poise and normalcy must be enforced for shizzle. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, Guy Pearce, who exposed his own transphobia this week when he posed the question on Twitter, if the only people allowed to play trans characters are trans folk, then are we also suggesting the only people trans folk can play are trans characters? Surely that will limit your career as an actor. Isn't the point of an actor to be able to play anyone outside your own world? Oh, Gaia. Now, obviously, the first problem here is that a straight, white, cisgender, prostate haver like Pierce is daring to question the holy judgment of the Rainbow Army. If we say only trans actors can play trans characters, then that's all there is to it. It's a certified part of the canon of rainbowoxy. But there is a deeper flaw here in Pierce seeming to think that logic is our guiding philosophy. As the victims of systemic oppression, people assigned as uterus having at birth but identifying as testes having as adults are entitled to say anything they want, regardless of how irrational or logically incoherent it is. That's what it means to fight against privilege. Logic is just another tool of the patriarchy. Thus, vulva-owning actresses can portray men, like on Saturday Night Live, black people can portray white characters, such as Little Mermaid or The X-Files, and, to overcome the systemic transphobia of Hollywood, cis actors can only be allowed to play cis roles, but trans actors, actresses, and act-otherin can play anything they want. Thus, men are able to transition into actually becoming women, but men are not able to simply portray women. Becoming a different gender? Yes. Pretending to become a different gender? No way. It's so obvious, the rules are clear. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, with these cleansing rites performed, may we all go forth in loving tolerance and microaggress no more. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
823 here on News Radio 92.3 and 4.
I'm going to microaggress you.
The looks I get from Candy are my favorite part. She just... That's awesome.
Yeah, same.
Oh, man. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Former President Trump says he doesn't know if he can get a fair trial in New York. Trump made that complaint and many others on Truth Social. The post came just hours after a grand jury voted to indict him yesterday. Turkey has now approved Finland's application for NATO membership. The Turkish parliament voted unanimously in favor of Finland's membership yesterday. That was their final hurdle to join the military alliance. And gaming's big summer show has been called off, E3. It was set to return to Los Angeles this year for the first time since before COVID, but had to be called off after gaming companies Nintendo, Sony, Microsoft, and Ubisoft all said they would not be there.
Why?
I'm not really sure. They just
COVID related, I wouldn't think.
No, they just all declined to participate in it this year. Huh. Had to call the whole thing off. So unfortunately, I don't know how we'll ever find out if that anticipated sequel to Pong is coming.
Can I go way out on a limb here and guess something about you?
What's that?
You're not a gamer.
No, I am, actually.
Oh, are you? Yeah. Oh, all right. What's your platform? What's your preferred platform?
I'm a PlayStation guy.
All right. Yeah. All right. Fair enough. All right. I take it back. I take back the horrible allegation I made about you. So
no, it was probably a good allegation, actually.
David Wayne's in the newsroom. Thanks, David. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And you still on the... Somebody need to write a book. Take a look. Looks like Olive doing just fine, not showing any problems on 9 Mile Scenic Highway, fine on the curve into Cervantes and into Mobile Highway. Navy not showing any issues, and it looks like Highway 98 is also clear, both in Gulf Breeze and heading into Alabama on the other side of Lillian. Certainly, if you see an accident, have a traffic tip. 437-1620 is a number you can text at. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Mm-hmm. By the way, somebody texted me and says, act otherin', amazing.
I know. The whole time, I just sit over here and try not to have stuff shoot out my nose from laughing. So, addition to shooting dirty looks.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. Thank you. They're inbound. I received them. This is such an odd little story, but I wanted to share it with you. David got me thinking about this with the cancellation of the video game tournament, I guess you'd call it. I am also not. My kids are all gamers, way past my capabilities. I'm still, playing the.
What do they play on?
Xbox, yes. PlayStation. Cool. My son likes the, Wii. They're all over the place. They like them all.
Oh, great!
And some on PC, and some on. They've got the little, all of it. They're super into gaming. So I try to play with them. And they slaughter me. It's not kind. The only one I'm even remotely not terrible at is Mario Kart. I am moderately not awful at Mario Kart.
Did you make Miis that look like you guys?
They do, yeah.
That's so funny, yeah, because they wave at you and cut you off.
So back in the day when they were first learning to play like Call of Duty and that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. and they were younger... And I wanted to supervise because, wasn't sure
of
what was going to be in there.
Yeah,
there's a lot
sure.
of bad stuff in there. So
there it is.
They always had me play with them because, dad has to play in order for me to be able to play. And at some point, they stopped asking me to go on the missions with them.
Brent Lane's son, Carson, it was the same way. Yeah. And I was like, oh, my gosh, you murdered me. And he goes, son, show some, I forget the word now.
Show some restraint.
Yeah, I'll restrain you all right. He's just a...
Yeah, I know. Yeah. That's how it works.
No thanks, Aunt
Knife
Candy.
Kill. What's that? Oh, dang it. Got me again.
Humility. That's what it was. Yeah. I'll humiliate you all right.
So the story was about Howie Mandel's daughter. And Howie Mandel is a, very famous germaphobe.
Right. Okay. That's right. A
doesn't
comedian.
Like to
sure.
high five or anything. He's
or shake
super
hands
weird
or
guy.
Hug
yeah.
or anything. Right.
Anyway, very funny doing stand up. Very boring as a judge on America's Got Talent. I will say this because the only thing he ever knows how to say is, "Well, there's a lot of acts. It's gonna be very competitive, and the audience is gonna make their choices." Dude, we Duh. Get it. That's the format. You don't have to say it every time. Anyway, sorry. Side note. Personal vendetta. Howie Mandel's daughter. The host of a podcast were sitting in, and the co-host of the podcast, sitting with Adam Carolla, and they were having this conversation back and forth, and they're talking about masks, and, I guess Adam Carolla's anti-mask. I don't know. I don't pay any attention to Adam Carolla. But apparently that's the background to it, and, he says, how it's kind of silly if you're working in a cubicle somewhere and you've, got a cough or got COVID, you're going to stay home because, you can't work in your cubicle with a cough? I mean, back in the day, people used to work at the lumber mill or the salt mine, and maybe it made a difference that they were feeling ill, but you can't type on your computer in a cubicle, but you can stay at home and watch TV and text people. do the same basic activity. And, so they had this kind of back and forth about, it's protecting other people from getting sick, and, we're having the conversation. And basically, Carolla was kind of taking the idea, you ought to expose yourself, and it's a way to develop your immunity and all of this. Okay. Where it got interesting is Adam Carolla, like, he starts coughing. And they, are you sick? He's like, yeah, I got a little something. And so she's like, oh, no, I have to go. So she gets up and leaves. And he's like, what? What? I don't understand. I'm not wearing a mask. You think that's the issue? You think masking? So she gets out. And it turns out her son is ill. And he's got a zero immune system, and he's in isolation in a hospital. So for her, it's a little bit different than for the casual, abrasive talk show host. And I thought that was, you know, it's just
the one that after the Man Show went the other way.
Right. It's just, it's
Adam who?
It's an interesting reminder that, you know, one of the, not to, of course, bring up all of the old debates, but it's an interesting reminder that there's always people who are dealing with unusual circumstances, and, you know, just kind of be a little cautious before you throw, you know, Judgy McJudger face at him, you know, because maybe there's something that you don't understand, and it's a little bit better to give people grace in the front end than to have to look like a donkey and have to apologize for it on the back end, you know. So 437-1620, the Navy Federal 5K comes up Saturday. That's tomorrow, 8 a.m., begins at Seville Quarter and ends there. You can go to that. And also the Fiesta Children's Treasure Hunt is going on tomorrow. Starts at 11:30 at the plaza right behind what you don't call it anymore, the T.T. Wentworth Museum. So 11:30, there's food, there's activities, all kinds of good stuff for the kiddos.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. The exact charges against former President Trump have not been made public yet. His attorney says there are 34 of them related to hush money payments before the 2016 election.
You don't bring a case like this against a former president on a petty allegation, on a completely legal civil transaction with attorneys, unless you have the goods, unless you have something substantial.
Joe Tacopina tells Fox's Sean Hannity arrangements for Trump to surrender in New York have not been finalized. President Biden says no comment about the Trump charges. He and the First Lady are on their way to Rolling Fork, Mississippi, hit hard by a tornado last week.
They'll survey recovery efforts and reaffirm their commitment to supporting the people of Mississippi as long as it takes.
White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre.
DeSantis says the, quote, Soros-backed Manhattan district attorney has consistently bent the law to downgrade felonies, but says now he's stretching the law to target a political opponent. Trump indicted yesterday. So far, the indictment is still sealed. No word on what the actual charges will be. Tate High School had to lock down briefly yesterday after a threat was made. And Channel 3 says a student told a teacher he heard somebody was planning to shoot up the school. The threats were investigated.
Stage VAC. Brian Kilmeade interviews the national newsmakers. Dave Ramsey helps you become debt-free. Pensacola right now. Infotains on your drive home. Local and Fox News at the top and bottom of every hour. And traffic on the fives during your drive time. News Radio 92.3. Informative. Local. Dependable.
Everybody jump. Jump.
I said a hip. The hip. Hip hop, you don't stop. Rap.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big circle.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
Wrap it up.
Yes, it is Friday. It is the wrap. It is time to talk with a couple of friends who are joining me here in studio to just, you know, mull over the news. And, you know, honestly, we got Larry Johnson here, is the owner of the Azalea Lounge and the longest operating liquor
bar in the city of Pensacola. Maybe anywhere around, really. Oh, and the best. Thank you very much. We are the best bar around.
We really didn't think
you'll lift my ban.
Yeah, we'll lift your ban if you behave.
We really didn't think this through. We should have been doing the rap at the bar this morning. That would have been so much better. But
right, if you do that, I'll dance on the tables. Just come on out.
Wow, we'll stay here in studio then.
Well, I won't wear my leopard skin thong, I promise.
Wow, it's already there. Larry B. Johnson, former city councilman and owner of the Z. Craig Heinzman is also here. Are you allowed to stay after all that, Craig?
No, I think I have to go now. Absolutely.
So he is the community pastor at Marcus Point Baptist Church.
Best church.
Let's just start with that. It seems like there's a relatively significant day coming up fairly soon.
Is there?
Yeah.
I'm not certain.
I think
Easter. That's true. Yes.
I'm at the Final Four, but okay,
yes.
Fine.
Oh, well, that's true, the Final Four.
So Easter coming up, a week from Sunday, right?
It is. Yeah, a week from Sunday. We've got the sunrise service down at the Blue Wahoo Stadium, something we've been doing now for 11 years. We talked a little bit about quality of life, and that's just one of the things that we love to see happen is the community come together, those believers and non-believers, and, you know, come together in a great day at a great an awesome place that has really helped revitalize our community, the stadium and the team. So we're glad to partner with that. 6:15 next Sunday.
God, that's so early. Said the guy who's on air at 5 a.m.
Well, the cool thing is this year there's a game Saturday night.
We were talking about nice.
So that's nice, except that we cannot set up anything before 10 o'clock that night, 10:30. So the entire stage, light, sound, everything has to be set up from 10 to 5 in the morning.
Oh, gosh.
So we will be working all
through
night. Through the night. Yep.
You're going to be the Lionel Richie crew.
Yes.
All night long. All right, so that's kind of cool. That's coming up. Anything with the Z, Larry?
Well,
you want to announce?
Yeah, we got a crawfish boil on April 22nd. Cubs Crawfish, one of our great local businesses. You know, we love to support local business in our community that employ people and pay taxes. And Clay out there at Cubs Crawfish does a great job. And he'll be at the Z April 22nd. So please come out and get a cold one and eat some crawfish. Other things in the city I'd like to mention real quick is the skateboard park ribbon cutting.
Whoop, whoop.
Is May 2nd. Great thing.
Long time coming.
Have either of you seen the park in person yet?
I have seen it in passing. Like, I've driven by it, but I haven't been able to get on the grounds.
I've been in there. It's amazing. It's just fantastic. It really is. It's going to be fantastic. I'm so excited to, you know, run the risk of hurting myself along with a whole bunch of other people in about 3 weeks, 4 weeks.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, my service on the city council was 10 years, and that project got started by John Schill, and I was part of the council at that time when he brought that before the council, and I'm glad to see that thing just about done and ready for kids to enjoy and everybody to enjoy, really. The other thing that's going on...
And by the way, that's one of these, like, it's a great amenity if you skate.
Right.
But people who have kids...
Absolutely.
And tournaments, you know, competitions, and it's just another example of this kind of the place-making concept. If you make a place where people want to be, then money and businesses and... These days with remote workers, all the other stuff flows behind that, because what people are doing these days is deciding, where do I want to live? And so you got to have a place where people want to live, right?
Absolutely. We used to talk about quality of life issues, and your other guest and I were just talking about that before we went on air. You know, Pensacola and cities are just not all about potholes and right. paving roads and all. There has to be quality of life there.
Yep.
To bring people to our community. The other exciting thing...
It's kind of... You know what? I'm sorry to interrupt you twice now, Larry, but it's kind of reminds me of the old philosophy of, you know... If all you ever do is put out fires and you don't take time to plant trees, you're going to lose the whole forest eventually anyway.
Mm.
So if all you're
true.
Ever doing is fixing the roads and the potholes and the basic maintenance and, you know, cop stuff, that's fine, but that's not the creative part that makes a place worth living in.
Well,
right?
And I think, so many people, John should be commended because he had an idea, he knew it could benefit the community, and he stuck with it through all the headaches.
Yeah.
You know, and how cool is it for him to be able to see this and go, finally... Something that's going to make Pensacola better, opening up. I'm just so proud of him. And
I love his comment. He said that, you know, there are people who were kids when we started this project and they have been advocating for all these years.
Yeah,
and
right.
they're now adults getting ready to start having their own kids, and they can finally use the skate park and be
it
out there.
It shouldn't take that long, honestly, for a good idea to
right.
come to fruition. It should not get that way. We were talking about the tennis courts. I mean, Those things should be a priority for cities. I agree completely.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other exciting thing happening to our city is that Roger Scott Tennis Courts, the rebuild of the 12 hard courts, are being done right now. I was over there a few days ago, and they have the old courts have been torn up. They were not safe. David Mayo, who does a great job, who ran the wheelchair open here in Pensacola. And we have people from all over the world that would come to the Pensacola to play at the wheelchair open.
Right.
Hopefully we can get that restarted and get these courts done. But again, it's you know, the Roger Scott is a Roger Scott tennis facility is busy all
it's phenomenal.
The time.
Yeah. Oh,
it's
absolutely.
Unbelievable. And we had some pushback on building the clay courts there, and I'm a tennis player, obviously.
Well, price tag, right? That's the whole issue is price tag.
Well, that too, and I think
maintenance
that
it is.
And Brock Sakey, the tennis pro out there, does a great job. So yeah, you got the skateboard happening. We got the new tennis courts at Roger Scott. Another thing I was talking about with the city, I'm real happy that Mayor Reeves has hired a grant writing staff. You know, I was talking to one of the staff members over at the Institute of Human and Machine Cognition, and we're so very lucky to have Ken Ford in that facility here in our community. And I said, now, how are y'all finding funding for the new addition across the street? And they said that they went after Triumph money and some other
ones.
So, you know, we haven't had a grant writer in the city of Pensacola for a while, and I applaud Mayor Reeves for recognizing that and doing something about it, because there's grant money out there to make this community even better,
right,
to do these things, and we need to have someone that has expertise and in that field and go after the money.
Well, and if you've ever tried to go out for a grant and you don't write grants, it's in the process.
It's a whole other language and process, right?
Absolutely insane. So to have somebody finally in Pensacola that can do that, and then we're just, it's not free money, obviously, but it's not
available
money,
right?
Right, generally, and so we're getting benefit just from these two hires already, so which is great.
Yeah, no, we'll come back to this in just a second because it's an important topic. Let's get Canyon here with traffic on the fives.
Not showing any slowdowns or delays right now. Accident free. Certainly, if you see an accident or a slowdown, you can let us know and text in 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back on the wrap here with Larry Johnson and Craig Heinzman. This grant writing thing is kind of interesting because, you know, Santa Rosa County has a really good grants writer. Actually, yeah. No, I was in Leadership Santa Rosa with one of their grants writers, and she's super, super capable. But then the city of Pensacola under Mayor Reeves has now figured out, oh, well, this makes sense. Let's have a couple of in-house people who do this and do this devotedly, and it's paying off. Like, their own salaries are easily paid for by the activity that they bring.
One great project. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Done. And, well, more than that, of course. And it's interesting because the Escambia County does not have grant writer. What a scam. And I asked Wes Moreno about this, and he said in his philosophy, the grant writer has to go to the department head and work with the staff so much that it winds up being as much time effort by the department head or department members in order to put the grants together that you might as well just have them do it themselves, is kind of his philosophy. I don't think I agree with that philosophy, but I understand the argument.
No, I understand the argument, but I would not agree with it because I have seen grants that are submitted by people that don't know how to do them, and they're instantly taken and thrown off because, this was not done correctly.
Right, it's like submitting it in the wrong font and handwritten. That's what it's like, basically.
Right,
yeah.
Send it back, do it again. So you're really doubling your efforts, tripling your efforts sometimes because this grant gets sent back 3 or 4 times before it even gets accepted to be considered.
Yeah.
So, yeah, having that expertise is something I think we should be investing in.
And, again, I think you see it pay off in Santa Rosa. You see it pay off in, City of Milton. You know, some of the stuff that they've done.
That's true.
Funding for the wastewater treatment plant because you have an outstanding grant writer working for them. And, you know, and we're seeing this in the city of Pensacola as well. One of the things that I wanted to talk with you guys a little bit about, it has been the big news of the day. We don't necessarily need to dwell on it much, but the indictment announced, even though we don't have the particulars for former President Trump, I have said about this that on the one hand, it looks clearly political. On the other hand, I remember how Republicans talked about Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky and perjury over a sex issue and how Democrats talked back then and now. And it seems so much like an inconsistent treatment, you know, between the former president, the former Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, the Biden administration, Hunter Biden. Like, just give me some consistency and I'll stick with you. And we just don't have it. Larry, your thoughts?
Well, I tell you, I believe that no one, whether you're a D or an R, is above the law.
Agreed.
I totally believe that no one is above the law. And I think this thing's going to play out. And I think that we should see how it plays out. And again, we haven't even seen the charges. So
right. Yeah. Right. It's all
we have no idea,
whisper
but, I mean,
and assumptions. And yeah,
right. I mean, and you know, with these puntings on TV, and I watch all networks. I watch CNN, MSNBC, and I even turn on Fox sometimes. And it's big news. It's they got to have something to talk about. And
sure.
I think last night it was on all night long.
Oh, sure.
But no one is above the law. And, you know, I being in politics, being an elected official for 10 years, I just wonder, I want to see what the charges are. And then I do realize that if it would have, I would have done some of these things that I'm kind of, that are being whispered about, I would have probably been prosecuted a long time ago.
Well, see, that's my thought is, my suspicion is that when you're talking about a case that's this old, that at this point you wouldn't have been. That's my concern,
right,
is that the average citizen wouldn't have been. And Trump is getting unfair overtreatment of a sort is part of my concern. But I'm totally with you. If we prosecute everybody the same way, prosecute everybody the same way.
I would agree completely because at the end of the day, how you treat any Republican, how you treat a Democrat doesn't really matter as long as it's fair and just across the board. And it does seem, like you said, very lopsided to me. So here, we're going to focus on this thing over here, but don't look in this corner over here, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot of – both sides do it. You know, here's the smoke.
Agreed.
Here's the smoke. Don't look at the fire. And, well, we can't be doing that. We have to – is this the most important thing right now for our country to be focused on? Is this what we should be talking about right now? Is this? I do want justice to be served, and if there was wrong done there, and whether I believe there was or wasn't, I mean, I wasn't the biggest fan of the man. He had some policies that I agreed with, but as a person, I was not like, hey, woo.
I've met Donald Trump several times, and I met him before he got in politics. I actually met him a few times, but you know, the other thing is, and you made an interesting point.
I love how you didn't elaborate at all.
Yeah, but
I have met him. Next topic.
Yeah, I've met him.
I'm waiting for the story.
Yeah, I know, right?
I've met him a few times, been around him, but you know, the thing about it is, it does distract us from the real issues at heart, the economy, things that are happening in our country that we really should be focusing on. We shouldn't be looking at the past of whatever you're claiming happened, and you know, blah blah blah. I mean, we really should be facing on and talking and discussing and trying to find solutions for the real issues that are affecting our country and our citizens. Like
the current things.
You mean like, you know, having a debt ceiling and a budget and a
military
and a threat from China.
Right.
You know, some relatively important things going on.
Yeah, instead of like, you know, the election was stolen. Okay, well, yeah, right. But yeah, it's kind of like beating a dead horse. That's over with, dude. Let's move forward and let's move on to the issues that are affecting our country right now. This other stuff to me is a big waste of time. And I hate it, and I think it hurts our country. I think our country is very divided, and it's kind of sad. It's really sad.
And who would have thought that President Trump would be the one to unite the Republican Party by getting indicted? And now everybody is on his side in his defense. Even Mike Pence and Ron DeSantis have come out and said this is absolutely outrageous and horrendous. The Great Uniter.
Right,
by being the target.
All right.
That's actually happened.
Because you can clearly say, and I think that's important, because there's no way in the world Mike Pence, Ron DeSantis are Trump fans.
Right, they're definitely not. Right.
But they go, this is stupid.
Yeah.
We are beyond the pale here, and I think you're right. There's so many other issues that can be addressed, should be addressed, that we should be spending our time and taxpayer money on, but here we are with this.
Right.
The news cycle is focused on this. There's a lot of other stuff that we could be talking about.
Something that Mayor Reeves announced this week, in fact, when we were talking to him the other day, he announced this, that, you know, that we've been working on Graffiti Bridge for forever and ever, right? As a not native coming to Pensacola and watching the Graffiti Bridge saga over the last 9 years, my assessment is I think the Graffiti Bridge and the damage it does to trucks is the thing that Pensacolians love to complain about. You know, love to hate. Like, it's entertainment, and it's horrible, and it's, look at this, and almost to the point where we're going to miss it when it's gone.
Yep.
But at the same time, it's a public safety issue. But Mayor Reeves says not just the signs, which are doing nothing or very little, but there's going to be a physical barrier, one of those, if you hit this, you're going to hit that bridge. You know, if you hit this sign, you're going to hit that bridge. Do you think it'll be over? Do you think that'll be the end of the?
It's close
Larry?
To your business.
Larry,
I'm gonna let you go
you've worked
first.
On this. You've looked at this for a long time.
Yeah, when I was on council, I was at District 4, and the Graffiti Bridge was in my district, and I know it's an issue. We even looked at for another issue. Actually, looked at trying to raise it. Mm-hmm. And with train tracks, you've got to go about a mile on each side of it and start. The incline.
Right.
And so we were looking at doing something with the trestle, and I was a part of the Emerald Coast Keepers at that time, and we're trying to convince CSX to take out the pilings.
And by the way, with lowering the road surface, same kinds of problems. It's just not really feasible, right?
Yeah, so we looked at it, and it's an issue, but to resolve it, I like the idea of trying to do something to make the truck drivers more aware of it. I mean, I think we're all on Facebook and see the Graffiti Bridge stuff and see the trucks that get the top torn off of them and all. So I'm hoping that there is a solution, and I hope it works. And best of luck, Mayor Reeves.
But do you?
Or
are you going to miss it? Or are you going to be
really
like, dang, no more great
pictures?
Well,
I haven't heard that. I haven't heard that. Are they talking about closing the?
No, no, no.
No, they're going to.
So when you go through like the McDonald's drive-thru.
Right.
and right. it has the little chain hangy things that hit your truck if you're not supposed to be there. He's going to put up something like that. We're not quite sure the exact specifications because he's got to work with FDOT on this because that's a state road yeah, south state road. Of the bridge.
It's so odd. That's so odd.
I know. North of the bridge, it's our road. South of the bridge, it's their road. Whatever.
But Andrew, what if it cuts down 50% of the trucks
oh, no.
going? Yeah,
I'm with you.
Even if it cuts it down in half.
Rational Andrew wants it to never happen again. Entertained Andrew.
That's me. 100%. And when he was talking about
you're
it.
You're a good pastor.
When he was talking about it, I was like, man, that's going to really stink that I don't get to see that funny stuff anymore. But he started talking about how much it cost not only the city but CSX
PPD,
that's gonna come out
and CSX got,
I'm like
yep.
well that makes a whole lot of sense. We do have to stop that obviously.
It's such an adult answer.
I know I'm gonna go spray paint a truck on it or something. I don't know. Can we I love the Wile E. Coyote.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Let's just get him to do it. Let's get Rodman to do the barrier. That'd be perfect.
Yeah, if we can get some artists. I'm sure, Ashton Hayward or something. Somebody can be in. Or Howard. I always get them backwards. Howard.
That's really weird.
It's my fault. All right, let's get another traffic break in here. Candy's got traffic on
Real
the fives.
Real quick, anybody here got stuck under the graffiti bridge before?
No, I have not.
I have not.
I guess that just makes me.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
In a truck?
Thank you, TK Van. I know. So, I don't know. But I'm also torn. I'm with Craig. As we take a look around, we are watching a vehicle crash with a roadblock, I-10 westbound at mile marker 3. So right near the state line, there's debris in the left lane eastbound. So use caution. I'm not showing a roadblock, but I am showing it slow in that area. 437-1620. If you see that accident or slowdown, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. In the few remaining moments that we have left, pickleball. I feel like I'm being invaded by a virus is how it feels because,
it's soccer, back when soccer wasn't popular.
Yeah, we called it just pickle back in the day. I mean, back like, 35 years ago in high school, we played that kind of thing and it's fine. But now, man, you can barely find a tennis court anymore because everybody's playing the pickleball and they're talking about, we're on the verge of turning one of the warehouses at the port into a facility like this. You're in favor, Larry?
Well, I've got mixed feelings about it. Because
you're a tennis player.
I am a tennis player, and there's been some talk of taking one of the tennis courts.
It's like the BMX kids at the skate park.
Do they have one at Roger Scott? I thought they had a pickleball court at Roger Scott.
Yeah, I'm not sure of that. Okay. I'm not sure of that. I think there was some maybe on some designs.
Well, Bayview is striped for pickleball. I know that PSC has theirs striped. PSC at least some of them striped for pickleball. Go ahead.
Yeah, I have real mixed feelings about it. And, you wonder if it's just a fad. And 4 years from now,
how dare
five
you.
Years from now.
No, it's very true.
It'll go away and we spend a bunch of money. So I'm not sure. So mixed feelings about that.
I mean, are we giving them any money to renovate that? Or is there, I'd kind of see the deal that was done for the port.
It's a good question. I think they're paying for the renovation. I don't think the city's investing in it, but I could be wrong about that.
So who is they? I'm just curious. Who is they?
The developers who want to build the facility. I don't remember who it is.
Oh, okay.
I remember for Leap, we toured the facility, and they were talking about it at the time. And a lot of people seem
to
be
really
excited
about it. And all
it
is right now is just a storage for, FPL or former Gulf Power used to always use it.
I think
so.
It's a vacant. Yeah. It's not being utilized for anything. And I'm totally fine with something that's not being utilized for anything, and you want to come and privately pay to have it done something. And if it's a fad, then you.
The one concern aside from the fad nature of it possibly, and it could be used for other things as well, but the one concern is this is sort of the beginning of some people are saying the beginning of the end for the port because you're starting to bring the public in and turn port facilities into public amenities and, what's the long-term end result of that.
I've been hearing that for 30 years.
There you go.
The end of the port. The other thing is security issues, out there.
Larry Johnson, Craig Heinzman, gentlemen, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Your home for Brian Kilmeade, weekdays 11 to 1, is News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.